Testing, 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 testing. Bless your name, God. Bless your name, God. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come humbly before you. We thank you, Father, for who you are and all that you desire to do in our lives. And Father, this morning, we thank you that, God, your grace and your mercy and your loving kindness is still flowing throughout this land, throughout this region, throughout all of us. And Father, we thank you. We thank you, God, that God, even right now, in the midst of every chaotic moment, every chaotic situation, every circumstances and every adversity, that Lord God, your grace, your mercy is ever so present in our lives. So, Father God, I come before you, God, as humble as I know how, and I ask, God, that you begin to allow us the opportunity, Father, to just lavish you with worship and lavish you with praise. God, we thank you that your presence, God, remains with us. And we thank you, Father, that we have this day that you have made, that we were able to open up our eyes and have active use of our limbs, that we may worship, praise, and adore you. So, Father, right now, we just thank you. We give you honor and we give you praise. And, Father, even in the midst of dangerous situations, in the midst of storms, in the midst of troubles, in the midst of all the things that we have faced on this year, you have always been faithful. You've always been committed. You've always been our stronghold, our strong tower. And Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father, for the blessings that you have presented to us. We thank you, Father, for how you made a way out of no way. We thank you, Father, for how you protected our families. We thank you, Father, for how you kept us in our right mind, God, how you kept the enemy from devouring us, Father, how your hands of mercy and grace held on to us, Father. I thank you, Father, that God, how you've been so gracious to us. I thank you, Father, how you have blessed the lives of your people. You have saved them. You have delivered them. You have restored them. And for that, God, I glorify your name. I magnify you. I honor you. And I can continue to say that you are my Lord and my Savior. So, Father God, on today, we ask, God, of your grace, that surpasses all understanding. God, equip us, God, that we may know and understand your word. I pray, Father, that our hearts be turned and be moved, Father, that we'll be able to receive that which you have for us today. And Father God, even though we may not know the way that you desire to take, we may not understand your purpose, may not understand the plan. But Lord God, we trust your hand. We trust your move. We look back on all the things that you have done in our lives. We look back on all the things that you have said and spoken over to us. And Father God, we just thank you that you know what's best. You always lead and guide us, Father. And Father, I'm grateful to know and to understand who you are. And Father, right now, we just lift up everyone that's on this podcast, Father. Father, I pray right now, God, that you'll meet their need. Father, go inside the very homes, God, and turn around anything that the enemy has tried to use for their demise. I come in faith, covenant agreement, Father, that the hand of God that's over their lives, I come in faith, covenant agreement with your purpose and the plan that you have ordained for them. I come in faith, covenant agreement, Father, that no weapon formed against them shall prosper. That God, that they shall not be torn down. They shall not be destroyed. They shall not be cast away or cast aside. But Lord God, that they shall thrive. That God, even in the midst of a struggle, that they shall strive. And Father God, I thank you. I thank you, Father, that you're meeting their needs even now. I thank you, Father, that you're even meeting their needs and you're providing for them even in a pandemic, God. Even when things don't look the way that you would think or we would think, they are still being provided for. And I thank you for it. I thank you for the souls that's being saved right now. I thank you for the deliverance that's taking place right now. The healing, my God, that's taking place right now. I thank you, Father, for that settling of the spirit right now. I thank you for that peace that is going to fall upon them right now and begin to allow them to get the perfect rest. Lord God, touch right now. We command that every situation, every struggle, every stronghold that the enemy has used, God, to try to destroy them, we command it to fail right now. We command, Father, that the hand of the enemy is withdrawn from them. We command right now that his plot and his plan is destroyed. The enemy thought that he would be able to destroy us, but Lord God, we thank you that we are held in a more righteous hand, and that is your hand. But I thank you, Father, for allowing those to have the opportunity to come to this podcast. I thank you, Father, for even the times that we don't understand, the times that we don't realize that you're still moving on our behalf. And Father God, touch those that are grieving right now. Father, touch the Williams family right now. Touch them in a mighty way. Touch, and we lift up Browns Memorial Church of God in Christ right now. As Father, you've took one of your soldiers, your generals, home to be at rest with you. Father, we that remain, Father, with the grieving maybe in their hearts, in our hearts, we ask, God, that you begin to send the comforter to them. And it be the peace that surpasses all understanding. That, Lord God, even though we may not understand the reason why, we may never understand the reason why, but Father God, let us move forward in this dispensation and move with quickness and move with a tenacity with our faith, knowing that there is an end in mind. And so God, I thank you right now. I thank you for all things that you have done. I thank you for every blessings. And Father, I'm grateful we were able to share another year, that we're able to come together in some kind of capacity, some kind of form and fellowship with our family members. I thank you, Father, even though they call it Thanksgiving and that may come one day out the year. But God, I'm forever grateful every day of my life for all the things that you have done and what you've done for the lives of many people. So Father God, I just lift my hands up in total adoration. And I thank you for everything, Father, that is to come, that has already happened. And we give you honor, God. We give you praise. And Father, this broadcast, I pray that you strengthen the hearts of every man and every woman. I pray, Father God, that you allow my spirit, my flesh to decrease, and I be used as a vessel, Father, to declare and decree your word. Have your way, God. Speak to your people. Use me, Father, as a vessel that you've chosen for this hour. And for that, God, I honor you and I praise you, and I bow myself down before you and give you rest, give you honor, give you praise. In Jesus' name, In Jesus' name, praise God. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Praise God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Great is thy faithfulness, O God. Great is thy faithfulness, Father. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Yes, God. Bless your name. Bless your name. Bless your name. Bless your name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Welcome to the RTRMI radio broadcast. My name is Pastor Robert J. Douglas, and I know that you could have been anywhere else doing anything, but I am so glad that you have decided to fellowship with us on this podcast. And I hope that you'll get something that will encourage your soul, lift up your spirit, but better yet, will restore you to the place that God has ordained for your life. I know that there's a lot of things that's been going on. I hope that each and every one of you have had a super fabulous Thanksgiving Day. And for those, I hope that you have. I'm grateful to know and to hear that many of you were able to get your turkey on, get your ham on, get your vittles on. And I'm so grateful for that. And seeing all the stuff on Facebook and all these different things of the families coming together. And it's a great thing, you know. And even though we may not have been able to express it the way that we desire to, I challenge and basically encourage each and every one of you to really just make sure that you're making a connection with your family. It doesn't just have to be Thanksgiving Day that we come together and fellowship and have a great meal. But that could be any day, anytime that it's on your heart. Let's get together, because I've realized that life is short. Life is something that we don't have any control over. We just are living in it and hoping that we can exasperate the things out of life that is given to us and use it to the best of our ability to get us to our final end. And so today, I do want to pause for a quick moment and to acknowledge and to honor one of the bishops of the Church of God in Christ. Bishop Matthew Williams has passed on. He has gone on to be with the Lord. And I want us as a body of believers to constantly lift up the family in prayer. This has been something that has not necessarily shocked the world, but it has made a huge impact on many of them that knew him and loved him and were influenced by his teachings and just basically his mentorship and different things of that nature. And I wanted to come on here because my level of truth is that I have much respect for him. And I definitely, my heart goes out to the family, goes out to all the members of the, you know, Church of God in Christ that knew him and was under his leadership, and we were under his leadership. And one thing that I must say is that I never had the opportunity to go back. And again, in spite of us going our separate ways, never had the opportunity to go back to say thank you. And the reason I say that, and it may seem strange for some, and I say this, and I think this is probably for some of our local patrons that understand the process of what our ministry, how it got to where it needed to be. But I must take a moment to honor this man of God because of the fact of I realized that there was a spiritual push that God used him to usher for our ministry. To get us to where we are. And out of all of the things and experiences that we've had and conversations that we've had, I always walked away with a bit of wisdom. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for some of the things that I've had conversations with him on and was able to glean from his experience and glean from his wisdom, to make me more of a better pastor, leader, father, husband, and just, you know, a man of God. So it does hit home for many of us. And my heart definitely does go for the family, to the you know, the family, Bishop Matthew Eaton's. And I'm asking that us as RTRMI ministries, those that may not know, I'm asking you guys to constantly keep them in prayer. Keep them in prayer. Because this is it basically changes the whole Church of God in Christ as we know it, in a sense, from two different things. One, stepping down of Bishop Blake, and also the passing of Bishop Matthew Williams. So a lot of things you'll see may change, a lot of things that you may see. Some people are unknown. And here's a time that I do believe, and I'm going to take this moment. Here's a time that I do believe is where God prepares us for things that we may not understand. And not only understand, but he prepares us in such a way that we will automatically gain a certain level of strength, wisdom, and solitude for many people that may be in our circle, may be in our surroundings, and that will flock to us or that will be drawn to us because of these things. Now, mind you that we don't know how we are able to be strong, or we don't know how we're able to be positive or be encouraging, or to be, to pull on faith. We may not know exactly how those things are. However, I do believe that God has already been behind the scenes working on some things in the life of us as a ministry, as a body of Christ, that we're prepared for times that we feel that we're not prepared for. And that was one of the themes that I wanted to express and talk to many of you, and hopefully encourage some of you about. And this may be a short sermon, this may be a short, teaching, but I wanted to come on here and just really encourage us all on some of the things that goes on behind the scenes. And if you allow me, I'm just going to go as I'm led in speaking. And I hope that this blesses many people. One thing that I realized is that a lot of times we go through our life every day, every hour, every second, every minute, whatever it may be, however you quantify or however you manage or how you monitor the time. But we spend our lives each day. Sometimes many of us may count the seconds, you know, or if we're at work, we may count the minutes. I got 30 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes to my break. I got 4 hours. You may get into the hours. I got 4 hours till I get off, or whatever the case may be. But what is interesting in this, and I realize that every moment, every second is precious to God. And here's the thing, is that we may take it for granted because a lot of our time and a lot of our minutes and a lot of the time that he has given us, we take it for granted, and it is wasted most of the time. You know, if you would think back on some of the times that we may be, you know, we say, yeah, I'm going to do, I want to start this business. I want to get closer to God. I want to do these things. And I'm guilty of it as well. But there are minutes and times or things are shifted in such a way that God begins to allow you the opportunity to make that request that you have made known. He honors your request. Now, the way that it comes by sometimes may not be the way that we would like. However it has been given to us, I believe, and what I'm learning to do is to be grateful and to be thankful for every moment and every time. You know, we walk through this life. We walk through our seasons and our times and our days, not realizing that merely our life is really just a vapor. And If I were to, you know, go to a passage of scripture, which is really James 4 and 14, and take this as a theme, however the Lord leads, where it says that, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then begin to vanish away. And so with that understanding, with that revelation, so to speak, you know, it challenges us to understand that tomorrow is not always promised with us. And this is not something that just is you know, a thought that came. I would say it is something that came to me with the recent passing of Bishop Matthew Williams, but also with the understanding, you know, having lost in my family as well, you know, over the years, lost my father, lost of grandmothers, lost of friends and uncles and different ones. And then you guys as well experiencing that loss. But one thing that I realize is that when we look at the word loss, when we look at this thing called loss, it is as though we focus or we are driven on the things that was taken away. And the things about that is that the focus of the things taken away is because we, our hearts and our minds want to go back and have the opportunity again to see that person again, to have the opportunity or the ability to pick up the phone and call them, to be in their presence again, you know, to you know, look forward to a certain time when Christmas comes and to be able to expect to see their face or to get a laugh from them or to do something for them or them to do something for you. Or you may like their cooking or you may like the way they did certain things, the way whatever it was. And we look at the moments of when we're able to hopefully spend time with them again. And when that time is lost, then that's the part that we have a hard time dealing with, is the opportunity of seeing them again. I can only speak for myself when I think about, and I don't know why, I know why God has allowed me to talk on this topic. I can only speak for myself when I realized that when there were times in my life when certain loved ones' time was there. I may be sitting in the same place with them, same surroundings, in the same atmosphere, in the same household, in the same room, sitting right next to them, riding in the same car, or whatever the opportunity lent itself. And that time went and was wasted because of the fact we didn't maximize the opportunity of that time. Whereas I can say for my father, there were things that I used to love. I used to love, to this day, I miss him. But when I was younger and didn't really understand, when my father had all the time to be there with me, I took that time for granted and say, you know, and thought that I would always have that time before. So when we were maybe at home and my father wanted to give me a hug when I was younger, and, you know, or when we was doing something and he wanted me to go with him somewhere or wanted me to take him somewhere or whatever it was at that time, I made light of that because it seemed like it was something more important that I wanted to do. I made light of that opportunity because at that moment, it was something that I desired to do more than spend that particular time with that particular individual. And when I look back on it all, at that moment, at that time, I banked on the opportunity that I would see them again, or I banked on the opportunity that I would, you know, be able to pick up the phone and call. I banked on the opportunity that I would be able to, you know, just have that opportunity once again, and decided to do something else that didn't have any value, didn't have any means, didn't have any, wasn't really productive or fruitful, you know, compared to spending that time for the time limited that God had for that particular individual. And I don't even know to this day some of the things that I did. It might have been playing a game on my phone that I wanted to play, Candy Crush, or just looking at social media for a period of time, or you know, trying to you know, read this little funny joke. That was what my attention was drawn to, you know, and failing to identify that time that was right there presently before us to be able to grab hold and to collect different memories and collect different things. Because here's the thing about it all, and this is probably the main point I want to get across, is that we spend a lot of time on what we have lost and instead of realizing honestly what we really have gained. And I want to kind of separate that out a little bit. I'm going to say it again. We spend the time on what we lost compared to really, and I'll say it like this, looking at what we have gained. And I say this in hopes that it helps somebody to look at things in a lens of gratification, in a lens of thankfulness, a lens of just understanding the blessing that God has already left when a person transitions on. When we think about transition, and we think about people going on to be with the Lord, and I was talking to my wife about it, and it's basically, when we think about transition, it's where a person goes through a process or processes from one state of being to another state of being. They go from basically when it comes to death, they transition from being here in the flesh live with us, and yet they transition over to being now with the Father. Whereas that thought of when you last saw them is the thought where you left them and you feel that they are, in a sense, for a moment, they are still there. I remember one time when, right at the time frame, I had a friend of mine that passed away, and we left the hospital. Well, I'm sorry, it was a friend of mine actually, and we left the hospital, went to do something else, and that's the thing, we left them there, and your mind automatically reflects to that time frame of being that they're still in that place where they were. But even though their body is there, they have transitioned on to heaven, or on to be with the Lord, or whatever the Lord has planned for their life. So our mindset is the fact of, I left them where I last left them in hopes that I can see them again by going back to that same place. But there is a void that comes there when you realize that when you can't really go back to that place where they were, you can't go back to that place where you last seen them. And that part is the hardest part to deal with, because it happens so quick in your life that you don't know exactly what to do. You don't know how to even respond. You don't even know how to even, sometimes you don't even know how to speak. You don't know how to move, how to continue on life as normal. But there is something that God begins to do inside of you that you don't really see at that moment. There is this grace and this power, this unction of the Spirit that just kind of picks you up in subtle ways and allows you to continue to move on and to breathe and to begin to get back to the caliber of life, that a sustainable caliber of life, where you're able to progress and move forward. And if this could be a part of the series of what we've been doing, moving on, or whatever the case may be, and in most cases, it's not just moving on, you know, where you're leaving it all behind. Sometimes you move on and you carry things with you. Sometimes God has it fit so to the point that He will allow you to have these experiences in life, good, bad, or indifferent. So that as when you begin to get to that place where you realize that you have to get up from where you are and begin to move forward in your life because of the fact there is something greater, there is something more that God has really ordained in your life. Sometimes there are baggage, yes, that you lay aside, but there is a lot of things that you take on that journey. There's a lot of precious gifts and precious moments and precious times that you carry with you, that you begin to, it allows you to remember what God has been doing from the beginning. And it's hard to take that in the place of physically being able to see and touch that loved one. It's hard to say that is okay, and really it's not. But I want to encourage those that may have lost a loved one and are still dealing with the loss of the loved one. And it's okay to grieve. It's okay to cry. It's okay to miss. It's okay to do all these different things. But I also want you to remember and to reflect on all the interactions that you were able to have with them. All the interactions and all the times that they may have smiled and all the different things that they have done and how you were able to watch them do certain things in your life, and it began to shape you for who you are today. There comes a time when we all must exit this earth. We all are going to go through that transition. And God allows us to have these opportunities in our lives where we interact, or actually in most cases, where we collide with certain individuals. And when we collide with these certain individuals, or we crash into these certain individuals, or we come into a relationship, be it a friendship, be it a partnership, be it a spiritual mentorship, whatever that relationship is, there is an impression that is left that will probably stay with you for the rest of your life. There's an impression that you cannot shake, that you cannot get rid of, that you cannot get away from, that will stay with you until you transition in itself. And here's the thing, is that there's an impression that you leave as well, my God, that will help shape or help or is a part of the plan or part of the purpose that God has ordained for someone else. The thing that we must remember is that we must make sure, and we must understand, we must always ask ourselves this question: what is the impression that I'm leaving? What is the impression that I'm leaving? When I have this moment of time to interact with my daughters or my son or my wife, what is the impression that I leave? If that impression is always an impression of hurt, anger, depression, frustration, irritation, all these different things, then I'm not using the time that I have wisely. I'm not using the opportunity that God has granted us as we are on this earth wisely. I'm not taking the full advantage of the opportunity to instill or to shape or to mold the character or the ability of someone in the way based off of the experiences that I've had and the impressions that I've gotten from other people. And at the end of it all, what makes my life the best life that it could be is the impression that I leave on the ones that I love and that love me. So here's the thing, that even though the void is left and the person is lost, you gain the impression that they leave. Now, here's the thing. Sometimes people in your life will leave a bad impression. Sometimes people in your life will leave an impression on you that was designed to kill you or to take you out completely. Sometimes that impression can be the impression of an abusive relationship. It can be a person that just tried to just destroy you some kind of way or any kind of way, a person that tried to distract you in any kind of way. And even though that season or that time may have been up where you journeyed on to your destination, the impression still remains because you still remember. The thing of it is how are you using the bad things that happened to you? How are you taking these experiences? And it may not be something that something happens to you. It may be the mistakes that you made in your life. How are we using these mistakes to maximize the best of the time that we have? How are we using these conflicts, these disagreements, or these arguments? You know, how are we using these things to shape the trajectory of our future and also the trajectory of the future of anybody else? Because one action causes many different reactions. One word said, be it encouragement or discouragement, can cause a certain level of events that can take a person in another whole different direction. And it may take another several events to get them right back on track. God ordains it that way sometimes. So in that moment that we begin to lose our loved ones or lose those things that we feel that we have lost, and it may not always have to be the impression of them transitioning on, there are still things that remain. And these things that remain, I challenge you with every fiber of my being, I challenge you to take those things and to pull out what God has ordained for you to see. Sometimes we don't understand that the storms that hit our lives are the very storms that God has ordained to get us to where we need to be. I was going to, as I was studying today, I was going to go into or to talk about Acts 27 chapter and the 13th verse. And this is one of the favorite passages of scriptures that I love because of the fact of this whole process. You know, actually starting back at Acts chapter 27 and 1. Because what it was is that God had a particular course and a plan for Paul's life, but it all was based on the need to get to the end result. Sometimes in our life, we are going to have devastation. We're going to have setbacks. We're going to have people that are coming to our lives, and we'll also have people that have to leave our lives, all for us to get to our desired destination. Sometimes, in other words, the storm has to hit you so we can push you. Sometimes you have to lose in order to gain. So I challenge you to really look into each every aspect of your life. And it's so easy to play the pity party, it's so easy to play the role and to marinate in the loss. It is so easy to, and I say that not lightly, but it's a difficult thing, I would say, to move on from the devastation. It's a difficult thing to move on from things that seem to take your last breath. But if your last breath is truly not your last breath, then there's more work that needs to be done. There's some things that you still have to do. There is an opportunity that God has for you. And you take these things, you take the loss and make it a win. You take what you have, what you lose, so that you can gain. You may find it harder right now. But in the end, we will see the whole totality of everything that God has and God is doing. We may not understand it, but some things just had to happen the way that they needed to happen. When I think about this, the scripture that I was reading or going to read to you, Acts 27, and I'm going to read this from the, and I'm just going to read it from the King James Version, Acts 27 and 1. And Paul basically is speaking, and he says that, and when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of the Augustus band. And entering into a ship of Adramyttium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia. One Aristarchus and Macedonian of Thessalonica being with us. And the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends and to refresh himself. And when he had launched from thence, we sailed unto Cyprus because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea to Cilicia, Pamphylia, we came to Myra, the city of Lycia. And there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us therein. And when he had sailed slowly many days and scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed on a creek over against Salamon. And hardly passing it, came unto a place which is called the Fair Haven, nigh whereunto was the city of Lycia. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them, and said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and with much damage, not only of the lading of the ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurions believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the heaven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenix, and there to winter, which is the heaven of Crete, and lie toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained the purpose, losing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euracleidon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her dry. In this whole process, Paul is basically, he's in bondage, in chains, or whatever the case may be, he's a prisoner. And the master, or whoever has him in chains, decides to put them on a ship. Now, Paul, getting revelation from God, giving probably spiritual unction from God, he realized that this is not a good idea. We shouldn't go here. We shouldn't do this. He gets that idea. He gets that revelation that God gives him, that it was not a good idea. But nevertheless, they still went on a ship, and they still faced the storm. Just for that moment, I just want to pause right there, is that sometimes the storm, you still have to face the storm. And you may not understand why the storm's coming your way and why it's hitting the way that you have, but sometimes that storm has to hit your life because of the purpose that God has intended for you to go through. And without that being said, I want you to read that maybe a little bit later on and go through the whole process, because what you'll find is that as they begin to kind of go through the storm, God spoke to Paul and began to tell him that as long as they stay in the ship, they're going to be saved. There was these men that were throwing off cargo. They were throwing off, you know, all the supplies that they need to try to make it easy for them to navigate through the storm. And there was these two workers or two sailors that were actually, they were supposed to be dropping anchor to try to sturdy themselves so they won't hit the land. But they were supposed to have been dropping anchors, but instead they lowered down a lifeboat, or was trying to lower down a lifeboat, you know, making a, a plan to escape the storm, trying to get on their little way and, you know, had a plan to escape. And when that was noticed, Paul said to them that it's better for those men, if they're going to survive, it's better that they stay in the ship or they're not going to make it. So they decided to cut away the ship that they already lowered down, and they stayed in the ship. Sometimes God has to have you stay into that storm. And I know sometimes it's hard. I know sometimes it may be, you know, it may be treacherous, and it may feel like you're not going to make it. But just know this, that God has a purpose and God has a plan. The storms in your life are meant to produce a blessing for you. That storm will allow you to throw off all the stuff that you thought that you needed. And it really was the very thing that they needed. They needed to have supplies. They needed to have food. They needed to have all these things. But in order for them to try to master the storm, sometimes you have to be stripped of every necessity just so that you can go through. And you have to stay in the ship, meaning that you have to stay in that faith place. You have to stay in that place where the will of God is. You have to stay in the will of God. You have to stay in that ship. You have to. Because if you step out in any kind of way, trying to make a quick escape, thinking that, you know, if I do this, it's going to work out. Or if I go over here, it's going to work out. Or sometimes if I run away from this person, you know, I'll be okay. Sometimes, in some cases, you got to stay there and wear it out and allow God to throw these things off the ship for you. Let him do the separation. Let him do the weeding out. And even though you may feel like you have lost it all, even though it may feel like that, you know, your heart can't take no more, God will show you the provision, the love, the strength of who he is in your life. And sometimes he'll allow it through certain circumstances and certain disappointments. I am a firm believer, I am a witness, that on the other side of the storm, there's a blessing. On the other side of loss, there is gain. On the other side of devastation, there is restoration. And this day, I pray that you be restored. Many of you have lost things that were so precious to you. And it took you a minute to get back into the flow of life. Took you a minute to get back into the things that God had already ordained. And you may think that you are not progressing the way that you need to progress. But I celebrate and praise God with you anyway, because of the fact is that it took something beyond yourself to allow you to keep moving. So I celebrate you, Twyla. I celebrate you, Lanya. I celebrate you, Bolden, Sister Bolden. I celebrate you, Miss Bridget. I celebrate you, Keisha. I celebrate you, Sister Sade. I celebrate you in everything that you have gone through and everything that has hit your life, everything that tried to knock the wind out your sails, everything that tried to destroy you and to tear you down, everything that tries to make you think that you're crazy, everything that tries to make you think that your value and your life and your worth was of no effect. I celebrate you because even in that, you're still precious. You're still valuable. Matter of fact, that was the validation of what God has ordained for your life for what he has intended and what he has desired. I celebrate you. Every loss that you have had and you still seem to remain. Every time that you have stumbled and you struggle to get back up. Every time that things didn't go the way that you intended it to go, but yet you just brushed it off and still tried to honor God. I celebrate you and I'm grateful for you. And I do believe that no matter where you feel that you may find yourself to be coming out of whatever you just came out of, the place where you're going to be is the process to get you where God has ordained you to be. There's great things that's going to flow over your life. There's great things that's coming around the bend and around the corner. Just don't give up. Just hang in there. Don't stop pushing. Keep on moving. Keep on ducking and keep on dodging. And I believe that God is going to show you what he's always had in mind for you and the purpose that he had in mind for you from the beginning. I pray that this message has been a blessing to you. It's a little bit different from most. But I pray that this message has been an encouragement for you. I pray that God has moving on your behalf and he's beginning to soften the very levels of your heart and the very levels of your mind and letting you understand and to see that he loves you with a love that is far beyond the love that you could even imagine. That even though adversities and situations and strongholds and struggles come your way, he still has a purpose and a plan that he has ordained for your life. And that plan is always, always, always going to be, it's going to be for the love that he has for you. He'll get the glory, but it's also so that he can show you how much he loves you. I am a firm believer. I've seen it in my life in so many ways. And God has truly blessed in so many ways. So many different ways that I couldn't even fathom. I couldn't even imagine. But one thing that I realize in life is that is this one thing, and I want to leave this point, is that even though you lost, you still gain. In that gain, you gain the understanding of when these people or just certain people in your life collide, the impression they left you their wisdom. They left you their faith. They left you their character, their template of what they did or how they did or how they treated each other or how whatever it was that they had in life or into that time, they left that time for you to reflect on. I was telling my wife the other day, I often have dreams about my father. And I had dreams about, had one about him last night where he was giving me something that he had to make sure I was covered from something. And I realized that in that dream that I realized who he was, and I've had that dream before. Now, what the prophetic or the spiritual meaning of that dream, right now I do not know. The only thing I do know is that there was an impression of his life left on me that I can never shake. There's an impression of many people's lives that have been gone on that was left on us that we can never shake, that we would never lose. We would never forget. And with that being said, when you don't forget the things that the ones that have gone on, like Mother Vance, Mother Lewis, Mother Floyd, and all these different ones, patriarchs that have just gone on, Mother Mills, all those patriarchs that has gone on, you never forget that impression of what they used to do. And here's the thing, is that sometimes it brings a needed smile to your face. When you think about it, it brings a needed smile to your face, and that gives you that glimmer of hope, and that makes you realize that it's we're cast down, but we're not destroyed. You know, we're tossed, but we're not completely turned over. You know, based on however Paul speaks of when he talks about, you know, coming out of the wreck, the shipwreck, and just floating on planks, but realizing that, you know, God still provided, God still saved, God still healed, God still kept. And that's what we walk away with. We walk away with the blessings of God. We walk away with the understanding of knowing that he's forever faithful and he keeps us when needs to be kept. Praise God. I hope that you have a awesome time. I did want to make a quick
praise report.
And we're going to shut this out. But before we do that, I want to pray. Grace and Heavenly Father, I come in faith covenant agreement right now with my brothers and my sisters. I pray that, God, you begin to meet their very need. I pray that, God, this word that you have allowed me to experience, which may have been a little bit different in most cases, but I believe it is what you have ordained for this hour. And I pray that it has blessed somebody. I pray that it has healed somebody. I pray that it has delivered somebody. I pray that, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that it has broken a shackle, or broken a burden, or broken a stronghold on the life of every believer. And Father, right now, I lift them up in prayer. I stand in faith covenant agreement that no weapon formed against your people shall prosper. I stand in faith covenant agreement, Father, that the will and the purpose of God, the blessings that you have for them, shall come to pass, shall truly be manifested. And it's happening quick, fast, and in a hurry. That our Father, I thank you that your scripture reigns true, that weeping may endure for a night, but Lord God, joy comes in the morning. I thank you that, Father God, even in the midst of all of these situations and all of these struggles and all of these problems, that your word remains strong. Your word remains true. Your word remains to be the tower that we look forward to, that it holds us and it keeps us and it strengthens us and it begins to take us to a place like never before. That, Lord God, that we'll begin to walk out in areas and walk into places that we have never experienced in our life, that we'll be able to do the exceedingly and the abundant thing that you have ordained for us, that it comes out of our spirit because of the power that is working inside of us. God, that you begin to shift us, that you begin to align us back up with your word, and we will stand firm, we will stand strong, that we will begin to receive the blessings that you have for us. That we will begin to be able to understand that we have value, that we have the power, that we are the next move of God, that we are the love throughout this earth, that we are by your spirit inside of us, we are going somewhere to be a blessing to someone else, that we are strong and we're not weak. We are the first and we are not last, that we are the lenders and not the borrowers, that Father God, that we lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, that Lord God, we are able to shift the atmosphere according to the Holy Spirit that rests, rule, and abide inside of us. That, Lord God, we are ambassadors to change. That, Father, we are the glory carriers. We are the way makers. We are the keepers of your most holy word. And we shall stand in faith covenant agreement that we will love on those that feel like they are unloved. That, God, we will be the one that will bring people together, that will let them know that God loves them. We are that vessel. We are that generation. We are those people. And God, I thank you. I give you praise. I give you honor. And I give you glory. And right now, if there be one that does not know him as their personal Savior, today is the day that they are accepting him right now. And it's very easy. All you have to do is, as it says in John 3:16, is that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We thank you, Father, that what we can do is just come to you and just ask, Father, I'm a sinner. I ask that you forgive me of my sins. This day, I make you my Lord. I make you my Savior. And Father, right now, I know that you are the Son of the living God that died on the cross for my sins and was crucified on the cross and rose up again in 3 days and begin to turn over, break the shackles of death. And Father, right now, by that same blood and that power, I command right now that in my life, that I go back to the very beginning and I begin to decree and declare that every struggle, every stronghold that the enemy has tried to take over in my life, every plot, every plan, every divisive trap has been destroyed. I am more than a conqueror. The generational curse breaks now. Then I shall stand firm. And Father, keep me in your way. Keep me in your will. Allow your Holy Spirit to rest, rule, and abide in me, that I may grow, that I may walk forward into the calling that you have in my life. This I pray in Jesus' name. Come on and give God praise. Amen, 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 and amen again. I hope that this has been a blessing to you today. I hope that this has been something that has been able to lift your spirits. I want to say this, that God is in the blessing business. God is in the blessing business. I tell you, God is in the blessing business. A quick praise report, and I want to give a quick shout out to my new family member. Praise God, man by the name of Terry D. Phillips. He's down there at Courtesy Nissan of Tampa. And I tell you, man, God used this man to really bless me and my family. We were able to get a brand new 2020 Nissan Rogue. God is good. Even when I thought it would not be possible, God had a way. He had a ram in the bush. So I encourage each and every one of you, if you are looking for a vehicle, if you're looking for, you know, trying to get a car, then hit me up and I will definitely get you in contact with him. You know, and he will make sure that we get your stuff together and go forth from there. But even in a pandemic, God is blessing. You know, even a pandemic, God is blessing. I thought that it would be no way made, and it wasn't a challenging of my faith. It was like, okay, well, I just have to wait. But God had a different plan. He had a different purpose. So I praise God for that. Amen and amen. So I pray that you guys are strengthening. I want you to go ahead and enjoy the rest of your day. Be blessed, be free, be healed, be delivered, but show enough, be restored. This is Pastor B. I'm out. I'm out early, but I'm out.